The success of professional fire departments helped set a trend which has seen the professionalization of many other services. Small towns were different, though. They often lacked the resources needed to support professional services. But they sometimes retained a stronger ethic of community responsibility and a more leisurely lifestyle that allowed volunteerism to thrive. I remember as a youngster in West Cornwall, Connecticut, hearing the fire siren go off and seeing Fred Bate out the door of his meat market and into the fire truck in the station next door before I could finish tying my shoes. I remember dozens of other men pouring out of the stores and other workplaces of the village, noting the fire location chalked on the blackboard outside the fire station and roaring off to help put the fire out. The Cornwall Volunteer Fire Department represented the mutual responsibility that can be a cherished virtue of small-town life. It met an essential, practical need, but it was also an institution that helped hold the town together and make it a community. Fred Bate is now approaching his 50th year in the Cornwall Fire Department. Though wearing an artificial leg, he still carries an emergency beeper and serves on the department's rescue squad. He remembers what fires were like in town before the formation of the Volunteer Fire Department.
The first fire that I remember, and I was just a little kid, I remember when the hotel burned, which is over there where Utzler's parking lot is, on a Sunday morning, and the church bell was ringing and ringing. And I remember looking out and seeing the flames come up and my dad piling out of bed. And of course, the nearest fire truck then was, I don't know, Falls Village, Canaan? I forgot, because I was about 6 years old, I guess. But that's the first real fire I remember. And I remember being mad as hell, because my mother wouldn't let me go with my dad. And they thought the whole village was going to go that Sunday morning when that building went up. Bucket Brigade in those days. Well, you just let it burn, you know, because we didn't have any equipment.
Episodes like that one, and the promise of lower insurance rates for areas with fire protection, stimulated Cornwall's well-established civic initiative to pull together contributions from the town government, a local businessman, and community volunteers.
They hashed it around, and in 1932, I guess, the town voted to buy a fire truck, and Lawrence Sturgis, who had the biggest exposure because he had the lumber yard and the coal yard down here, he built the old firehouse so that when they got the truck, he had a place for him to put it because it meant a differential in his insurance premium.
Fred Bate's father, Fred Bate Sr., soon became the department's chief, and Fred Jr. joined the force as a young man.
The first one I went to was Bill Martin's barn. Lightning hit it. Bill Martin was lived there, and lightning hit it, and it burned up 3 or 4 cows, as I recall. And that's the first one I went to. That is, as a fireman.
The Volunteer Fire Department was initially an all-male preserve, but starting in the 1950s, women were a growing proportion of the force. Throughout its history, the department served as a social and political center.
One time, your fire companies, it was socializing. People didn't get in their car and run here and run there. They didn't have the boob tube to sit around. And not only were you involved with that, but politics was involved, and the whole thing was involved around these particular groups. This is how you got to know your neighbor, you learned that somebody was interested in something, and his neighbor said he was a good guy, or so be it, or whatever, and somebody else, and here's where you sort of formed an opinion as to whether you wanted the guy, whether he wanted to be on the school board, or what. This is one of the places that it was discussed. I assume, your church organizations, the Grange, the Masons, the Civic Club, you knew who was interested, and through this stuff you made up your mind whether they were qualified for it when they came up to vote, so to speak.
I asked Fred Bate about injuries to volunteer firemen.
We were fortunate as far as injuries were concerned. Let's see, Herb Gustafson, I think it was, over in Cornwall Hollow one morning, he stepped on a rock that was iced over it. I guess he had his leg broken, and I froze my fingers down at Mrs. Sienna's, and other than that, I can't think of anybody who ever came up with anything, shall we say, serious. It was just my fingers that were. The only thing there is, I can't take a pulse. Hands my fingers. When I used to go on the ambulance, I couldn't take a pulse because I couldn't could feel it with my fingers. Somebody else would have to take the pulse.
Volunteerism has been taking a beating in many quarters of American society in the past few years. The average American family now works many more hours a week than it did just a decade ago, leaving far less time for community efforts. Increasing concern with safety on the part of insurance companies and the public has led the state to establish strict training requirements for volunteer fire and rescue workers. I asked Fred Bate whether it was harder to get members for the fire department than it used to be.
Oh yeah, all around. You read it not only here, but in all the towns, particularly when it involves volunteers, whether it be church groups or fire departments or what. When you talk volunteers, you know, in this day and age, time is money, unfortunately, you know. You know, everybody has to go to school now, and this is killing volunteerism. But by the same token, you got to have the education or you're going to get murdered.
The fire department filled an obvious need. It has put out over 500 fires in the past half century, virtually one for every residence in town. But what, I asked Fred Bate, motivates individuals to be involved in such community efforts?
Well, I don't know what motivates. I guess, taught that you just don't sleep in a town and pay your taxes. You have to contribute in one way or another. And there it goes back to what your primary interest is and how much you push towards that interest, you know. As I say, I'm self-satisfaction. I'm getting to the point where I'm going to have to hang up my spurs. I think this is my 50th year, and 50 years is long enough, I guess. Although, you know, I'd like to think that I could contribute something minimal. I would never begrudge one second of any of the time I ever gave to the community, because I've been repaid. You get repaid in strange ways, but you get repaid.
This story has a postscript that is improbable but true. It shows that at least some of the spirit of small-town volunteerism still persists in Cornwall. Just as I was sitting down to start the script for this piece, I looked out my window and across the valley, only to see a plume of smoke rising on the opposite hillside. I picked up the phone and called the emergency number to report it. Within 10 minutes, the area was swarming with members of the Cornwall Volunteer Fire Department, tracking down the smoke. Fortunately, it proved to be nothing worse than a smoking stove. One of those in the crew, by the way, was Fred Bate's son, Fred Bate III.